Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is already a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Carlos Boozer is going to stop by at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time, so 40 minutes from now. Bryant McFadden will join the fun, BMAC, at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today. And when we continue to rock and roll in the football world, we move past Super Bowl 59, as obviously we saw the Philadelphia Eagles blow out the Kansas City Chiefs, and we already start to move forward to next season. And I actually, before I went to bed last night, you know, I kind of did a note, and I scribbled something down on what we were going to lead with. And I said we're going to lead with the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they should do at the quarterback position and how maybe they should go get Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford. You know, I would not bring back Justin Fields. I would not bring back Russell Wilson. I think they need something bigger. So that's what I kind of just jotted down. And when I woke up this morning, I saw some report which has been refuted, but the report is out there, so I don't know what the truth is, that the Jaguars and the Steelers at least had a conversation surrounding a potential Trevor Lawrence trade. So that was out there, and that's what I thought we were going to lead the show with. But then, as I'm on the elliptical, I got a little bit of a late start this morning, and I'm on the elliptical, and I see the report from the Jets that they put out a statement. Now, this has been speculated and reported on the last few days, but it was the official announcement from the Jets that they are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers will be released by the New York Jets and he'll be free to sign wherever his little heart does desire if he wants to continue playing football. And I was talking to someone today and I said, if he can't go to the Steelers, right? I just threw that team out there because there's not a lot of great destinations. Do you think he would retire? And just one person told me, he doesn't think Rodgers' ego would let him go out this way. He doesn't think that Aaron Rodgers is actually going to retire. And I agreed with that person. I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to play football next year, but I think there needs to be a purpose. Like if Aaron Rodgers is going to Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, the Raiders, like what are we doing? What are you playing for? You at least need to go to a spot where I'm not even saying that you got to go win a Super Bowl, but you at least got to go to a spot where I could believe that that team can make the postseason with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. Because if you look at the Jets, I know the Jets had a disaster season this past year, and now we'll see what Darren Mooji and also Aaron Glenn will bring to this organization. But the Jets, if everything went right with Aaron Rodgers this year, at best, if everything went right, I can't repeat that enough, at best, they would have been a wild card team. So I thought this was the right move for the Jets, where they were open to the idea of bringing Rodgers back, but it had to be on their terms. And you saw some of the reporting yesterday, no more Pat McAfee, you know, being there for the offseason program. And we know Aaron Rodgers. Once you tell him what to do, and once you think you wear the pants in the relationship, that's when Aaron Rodgers is going to say, peace, I don't want to be a part of this organization. So I'm more than fine with the Jets ripping off the Aaron Rodgers Band-Aid. And ultimately for Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn, it's a fine first move. I understand why they're doing this, and I don't really have a dissenting voice to it. But ultimately, their future and their tenure is going to be determined on if they could go out there and get a franchise quarterback. Because the Jets have been stuck the last few years where the Jets have a good roster. Whether it's Quinnen Williams, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, you know some of the foundational pieces that the Jets have. But when Zach Wilson was there, people thought he was going to be the guy. Then Zach Wilson clearly wasn't the guy after they used the second overall draft pick on him. And the sentiment was just wait till they get a legitimate quarterback. And then they traded for Aaron Rodgers. That was their legitimate quarterback. He got hurt in year one. Nothing you could do about that. And in year two, the Aaron Rodgers truthers I find to be very funny because they make it seem like he was incredible this past season. He had a fine season in the last like 7 or 8 games. But the start of Aaron Rodgers' season was not good. And there were games late where he was driving, whether it was Denver, whether it was Minnesota, you know, where they couldn't get the job done. And Aaron Rodgers had costly turnovers in that game. So, yes, he got going at the end of the season, but it was too little too late. And I'm not pinning all of last year all on Aaron Rodgers, but we don't need to be making excuses for Aaron Rodgers as well. So I understand what the Jets did today. And now all the questions become, and it feels like we've been in this just never-ending wheel of Aaron Rodgers drama for the last 4 or 5 years, of where is Aaron Rodgers going to play next? And that clock started to tick in Green Bay when they drafted Jordan Love. And then once they got rid of Aaron Rodgers, we found out that he was going to the Jets. And now the question becomes, if it's not retirement, which I don't think it will be, where is Aaron Rodgers going to go? And I go down this list of teams that need a quarterback. You know, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I know he has a house right in Nashville, I think. I'm not going to the Tennessee Titans. I'm not going to the Cleveland Browns. I'm not going, sorry, Stu, to your Las Vegas Raiders. And if you want to stay in the New York area, I'm still not going to the New York Giants. Yeah, they have Malik Nabers. But what else do the Giants really have? And the Giants are nowhere close. Aaron Rodgers needs to go to a spot where he thinks just bare minimum he can make the postseason. He could be a wild card team. Because for Aaron Rodgers, this idea and this dream of winning another Super Bowl or getting to another Super Bowl, that's a fairy tale now. That's an afterthought now. Wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, it's how can I just go somewhere, play well for 1 year, maybe make the playoffs, and go out on a good note. That's why Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is coming back to win a Super Bowl. And if he is, we're going to be searching for a long time to find the destination where he could go out there and win a Super Bowl. And the more and more I go through these teams, like I could give you some dark horse destinations. I don't think he's going the Brett Favre route, Green Bay to the Jets to the Vikings. I believe the Vikings are going to go with J.J. McCarthy. But I'll be curious to see with the noise about Matthew Stafford. If the L.A. Rams do move on from Matthew Stafford, that'd be a pretty good destination for Aaron Rodgers, where you get to play and play for Sean McVay. You got Puka Nacua. You got Kyron Williams. So that's not a bad spot for Aaron Rodgers. But if I'm the Rams, I'd much rather have Matthew Stafford next season than Aaron Rodgers. Just where we're at now and where both those quarterbacks are at in their careers for the year of 2025. So I think the Rams are a long shot if they do in fact move on from Matthew Stafford. And I'm still not sold that they're going to move on from Matthew Stafford. I think a lot of this is just negotiation games, and you hear where the noise is coming from. Yes, it's some from the Rams, and then also it's from the Stafford camp too. His wife is even talking about this on Instagram and then also on our podcast. We'll get to some of that audio later. You know, could Seattle be another dark horse destination? You got a year left on this Geno Smith contract. Seattle's a good young roster. Yeah, you got the veteran in Tyler Lockett, but you also got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You got DK Metcalf, and you got Kenneth Walker. And the Seahawks were fine this past year in year one of the Mike McDonald era. But when you get through those long shots and dark horse destinations, I don't think it's Minnesota. I still think Seattle and the Rams are long shots. And I look at teams like Tennessee, Cleveland, the Las Vegas Raiders, the New York Giants. None of those really make me go, oh, gee golly, I'm really excited to see Aaron Rodgers go there. The team that I think makes the most sense for him are the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do. Because we just saw this past year, the Steelers have another typical Steelers season where they were good in the regular season, they were fine in the regular season. At times, they looked like they could be great in the regular season. But at the end of the year, that team started to hit a dead end. And then come postseason time, they've done what they've been since the 2016 season, which was the last time that they had a playoff win. Which is you get into the postseason, you quickly walk in. It's like the Simpson meme. Right, you walk into the bar and you look at the postseason, you turn around and you walk right out. That's what the Steelers have ever been, and that's what they've been all about since the 2016 season. That was the last time they won a playoff game. So the Steelers this year on paper, right, and you look at their records, you're like, oh, they had a really good season. They overachieved for what we thought they were going to be. But they never had their guy at quarterback. Even when Justin Fields was playing well and winning games, they went back to Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson had a few moments for them this year, right? That offensive line needs work in Pittsburgh. Let's not sugarcoat it. You need another piece to complement George Pickens, and I don't even know if Najee Harris is going to be back. And that defense, at the end of the season, it was a major letdown. But still, they made the postseason. They said hello to the postseason, and then before they could even really enjoy themselves, they said goodbye because they were eliminated. So do I think it's necessary for Justin Fields or Russell Wilson to be back with the Steelers next year? No, I don't. You know, Russell Wilson showed you he's not that guy. He's not going to win the Steelers a playoff game. And Justin Fields, they didn't believe in him even when he was winning games. So why would they bring him back and make him the starter when they benched him this past season, and then you're going to bring him back and be the full-time guy in 2025? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So it seems like the Steelers are once again in a position where they need a stopgap guy. And Aaron Rodgers would at least be exciting. Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is better than Justin Fields. And sure, they still need to patch up that offensive line because that offensive line was no bueno last year. They got to go get another wide receiver to complement George Pickens. You got Pat Freiermuth, who's a good tight end in this league. And we'll see what happens at the running back position. And you hope that the defense bounces back. But for the Steelers, it's amazing how we've lowered their standard. The Pittsburgh Steelers used to be about winning Super Bowls, being one of the preeminent franchises in the NFL. And ever since they last won a postseason game in the 2016 season, they haven't won one since. And that standard where we look at the Steelers, they get the respectability, right? We always praise that organization, but they've gone from a great organization to just being stuck on being a good organization, where they're never close to getting a franchise quarterback picking in the top 10 of the draft, but also they're not good enough where they could forget about going to an AFC championship game, forget about going and winning a Super Bowl. How about just winning one lousy playoff game? So yes, it will probably feel like next year is a punt season, and sure, the Steelers could look at it and Steelers fans could be upset, and I understand your frustration. But the organization, they don't like to make changes at the head coaching position. You look at it with Noel, Cowher, and Tomlin. Those are the three. And Mike Tomlin is still in the good graces of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, maybe not the fan base, and also the Rooney family, which that's the most important endorsement that he needs. So I said it at the end of last season, Mike Tomlin would get a job tomorrow if he was fired, but I would issue him an edict. I would say either go win a playoff game. I know you got 3 years left in your contract, but you got to go win a playoff game in the next 2 years or find me the next franchise quarterback. And I don't think the Steelers are going to be able to find their next franchise quarterback this year because they're not bad enough in the draft. There's not a great name out there on the market. You know, could they get a Matthew Stafford? Still, that's a stopgap. I don't buy this Trevor Lawrence stuff. You know, if you bring in Sam Darnold, I don't think that's making me jump for joy. We just saw what Sam Darnold did this past year. He had a good year, but when push comes to shove, he couldn't get the job done in the postseason. So you go through these names out there, there's not a great name out there. So I think that Aaron Rodgers on a one-year deal would actually make sense for the Steelers, and he goes to a good spot where I do think that Aaron Rodgers, if everything goes right, he could do something that the Steelers haven't done since 2016, and that's actually win a postseason game. I'm not saying win two. I'm not saying win three. I'm not saying win four. But I do think that if Mike Tomlin brings in Aaron Rodgers, now playing a full year since the Achilles injury, I think we could see some of what we got to see at the end of the season with Aaron Rodgers a lot better than what we saw earlier in the season. And the Steelers could go do what they typically do, win double-digit games, and then this time maybe have a shot on wild card weekend. And if that's the case, Mike Tomlin's happy. And then also Aaron Rodgers could ride off into the sunset, even though he'll probably then lose in the divisional round, but he could ride off into the sunset and not have his career go out on a really losing note and a failed experiment and experience that he did have with the New York Jets, where he got injured in the first year, and then year number two, it was basically over before you could even get to the end of October. So I think Aaron Rodgers needs the Steelers, and I think the Steelers could also use Aaron Rodgers. And out of all these destinations that we go through, that would really be, to me, the one that makes sense for Aaron Rodgers, because who wants to see him end his career in Tennessee, Cleveland, Las Vegas, or with the Giants? And once again, I think it's unlikely that the Vikings, Seahawks, or Rams are going to be pursuing the services of Aaron Rodgers. So where do you want to see Aaron Rodgers play next year? Or do you just want to see him retire? Because I'm sure there are a contingent of people out there that are like, Zach, stop talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm sick and tired of Aaron Rodgers. He's over. He's finished. He's washed, right? I'm sure many of you say that. And I know you say that because I get your DMs, right? And I see your messages. And we've talked about Aaron Rodgers nonstop for the last 4 or 5 years because he's polarizing. He's always welcomes in the drama. And he's been in the news from the Jordan Love situation, leaving Green Bay, the failed experiment here in New York. And now, once again, everyone's on their toes and he has us guessing on what's he going to do next because the first domino falls and it was the unexpected one, or it was the expected one, I should say, excuse me, that the Jets were moving on from him. So now it's retirement. And if you don't retire, what darkness retreat are you going to emerge from? What cave are you going to emerge from after smoking your ayahuasca or doing your ayahuasca? And then what is the ayahuasca going to tell you? Because last time you went into the cave, right? I remember this. This is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. Last time he went into the cave and he was thinking 90% retirement, I believe he said. And then he emerged out of the darkness and he was like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, I have to go to the New York Jets. That's what happened. So Aaron Rodgers is a wild card. But right now, if I had to give you my immediate thought, I would like to see him play for the Pittsburgh Steelers next season. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, is Trevor Lawrence going to be on the move? We will get to that when we return. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Carlos Boozer is going to stop by in about 18 minutes from now. I'll just tell you, the airline services since COVID have just been horrible in this country. Now, right, you hear like the delays and, you know, like what happened to Samter, where they get you on the plane and then they make you deplane and then they make you get back on and then eventually you take off. And I have no damn clue how any of this stuff happens. And you never really get a straight answer. Well, I actually finally got an answer today and it only took 10 minutes, but still it was a mishap on the airlines. So I have to go to a bachelor party in July in Denver, Colorado. So I had to book the ticket. So I booked the round trip ticket and then like 4 days later, and I did it through my credit card company because I had points and right, didn't have to use any of my own money, just use the points. So the whole trip was paid through in points. So I get a note from the airlines that the flight that I originally booked changed. And the flight that was ended up changing wasn't conducive to my travel schedule. So I went on via the airline company's app and I just changed the flight. And in doing so, I saved $55. So I get a notice, hey, what your original flight was, it's $55 fewer, we'll send you a travel credit. So they sent me the travel credit, and then I had to book another flight today for another bachelor party as I'm going to Las Vegas. And I already texted Sully, so I'm very happy that I'll see Sully on this bachelor party. And when I went to go use that flight credit, they go, it expired. And I go, how did this expire? I literally booked the trip a month ago. So I have the number. They didn't take the number. They go, give us your email. They go, here's the number. And the number just won't work. So after calling someone, and I was trying to book this flight for an hour, I called someone. They resolved it in 10 minutes. Since I booked the trip with points, they don't actually then issue credit. Now, maybe the points will be refunded to my card. But I said, okay, if that's your policy, that's your policy. But then why did you send me this email saying that I had a credit? And they gave me the credit number, right, that they end up making you punch in like a 6-digit code. So it's just, you can never, even when your trip doesn't get canceled or you don't have to sit on the runway or, you know, they say that the plane's going to take off at this time and then it gets delayed 10 minutes and then 10 minutes turns into 4 hours and then 4 hours turns into 7 hours and I go, we have unfortunate news, folks. Your plane is not going to take off this evening. We're going to cancel. Hey, they can't even do their credit for refunds correctly. So that was my mess with the airlines today. I just want to pay and get what I pay for and not have there be any mishaps. I understand if you get delayed here and there, But every single time people fly now, and mine's not a horror story, but it seems like there's some sort of horror story. I thought Samter wasn't even going to get to New Orleans or crying out loud. See, I landed. Samter then got to the airport a few minutes afterwards. I then had a full day in New Orleans. And I checked in with Mike. I go, did you take off yet? He goes, still no. I had lunch. I had dinner. I walked around the city. I then had dessert. I then got back to my hotel room. I did some work. I then checked my emails, about to put the head on the pillow, and Samter finally goes, see you in the morning, just take it off. So my oh my. You know, this show, Samter's had bad luck with the airlines. I've had bad luck with the airlines. And Stu, I just saw your vacation schedule. You have a lot of vacation coming up in March.
Sure
a lot
do.
Of flying that you're doing. Maybe the third time will be a charm, because for Samter, airlines, Zach, airlines, for you, hopefully better.
Hopefully not. That's and Phoenix is a long flight, so I really hope there's no issues.
Yeah, like when I was going to Atlanta and I had to sit on the runway for 2 hours, not that bad, because that's like terrible to have to sit on the runway. But eventually you get up in the air and it's not that long of a flight. When you got to go across the country, for crying out loud, on a 5-6 hour flight, you get delayed 2-4 hours. That just makes it not even worth going on the trip, if I'm just going to be transparent. You know, here's what I usually do now. I try to get on the first flight out because I know the plane's going to be there. I know that the crew is not going to have any union issues, right? They're well-rested. They're coming in for the night before. And usually that first flight out takes off within a reasonable amount of time of when you purchase the ticket. But anyway, let's get to the Steelers' Trevor Lawrence report. So there was a report out there that the Steelers inquired about a trade for Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And then I did just see Mark Cabali, who covers the Steelers, tweeted out, the Steelers in no way imaginable inquired about trading for Trevor Lawrence and have no interest in even reaching out to the Jaguars about acquiring Lawrence, according to a source. Stu, I'll just ask you this. Where there's smoke, there's sometimes a fire, right? Do you think that the Steelers reached out about to see if Trevor Lawrence is going to be made available in a trade?
I could see them reaching out. Now, does it go any farther than reaching out in a phone call or two? I would be kind of surprised if Trevor Lawrence was on the move.
Yeah, I don't get why Trevor Lawrence would be on the move. Like, don't get me wrong. They paid him last year when they rushed to pay him. And I said that the Jaguars should not rush to pay Trevor Lawrence. I also said that Dak Prescott shouldn't take a new deal with the Cowboys because he's trying to leave Dallas. And I also said the Dolphins shouldn't rush to pay Tua Tagovailoa either. But they rushed to pay him, and he was banged up this year, right? He didn't play all that great. And Trevor Lawrence, when he's healthy, he's an okay quarterback, but he hasn't been that generational talent. He hasn't popped off like we're used to seeing. Now, I think where the skepticism here is, and it's something against Ryan Burr, who had the report that the Steelers have reached out to the Jaguars to trade Trevor Lawrence, and Ryan Burr is a Big Ten Network hoops guy, like PGA Tour Live. It says in his bio, it's just like, hey, nothing against him. You're not Schefter. You're not Ian Rappaport. You're not Tom Pelissero. Great head of hair, by the way. You're not Jay Glazer, right? You're not one of these big-name insiders here. So when you're not one of these big-name insiders, I think we all kind of look and be skeptical about where the report is coming from. And Ryan Burr does have a big Pittsburgh following. But so, you know, I'm sure that there are legitimate sources there. And I'm not even saying his information is wrong, but until it's vetted or until someone like a Schefter or a Rappaport or a Pelissero, a Glazer, comes on out there, I'm missing one other insider. I feel like there's five mega insiders. It's Schefter, it's Rappaport, it's Pelissero, it's Glazer. Who the heck am I missing? I'm trying to think. I feel like there's also a fifth one in there.
You want to go Diana Rossini?
No, nothing against Diana.
I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I feel like there's another mega
Garofalo?
Name out there. Garofalo's pretty big. I don't know why, though. I always feel maybe it's just four. Maybe it's only the core four. And I wasn't going to go Florio. I wasn't going to go with the dude on Fox, Schultz. But for whatever reason, whatever. Like, you get the point here. Ryan Burr is not Schefter. He's not Pelissero. He's not Glazer. He's not one of those huge NFL news reporters that we all just see it and we just know that it's true right away. So that being said, I understand the skepticism, but the Steelers should be reaching out. Because it doesn't make sense to me for the Steelers to just run it back with either Justin Fields or to run it back with Russell Wilson. And maybe you could go get Trevor Lawrence, but why would, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, you just hired an innovative offensive mind and Liam Cohen, why the heck would I trade Trevor Lawrence before giving him a year to work with Liam Cohen? But then it's also the Jaguars, and they do everything backwards. So I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to get traded, but that is a storyline to monitor. And once again, the reason why I don't think they're going to get traded, you know, he's not going to get traded, is because I would want to see what Liam Cohen does with Trevor Lawrence. But the Steelers got to make a move, man. They do. And they got to make a move, and I think they need to go get someone that's not named Russell Wilson, that is not named Justin Fields. You know, and maybe it is Matthew Stafford. If he is available, I think Matthew Stafford would be fine. But if I'm Stafford, I would prefer to stay in L.A. That would just be me. So we could go through this. I threw out Rodgers. I think that moves make sense for both. But eventually, the Steelers need to go get younger at the quarterback position. And it's funny how this works, right? We've seen with legendary quarterbacks that have walked away. For Big Ben, the Steelers have had a bunch of quarterbacks, never been able to find that guy. The Denver Broncos, right, they went through a long stretch of not being able to find that guy post-Peyton Manning. They even traded all those assets away for Russell Wilson. He didn't work. And then, boom, they end up getting Bo Nix, who had a very good rookie season. You look at Drew Brees. He leaves the Saints. I know Derek Carr is fine, but they've never found their long-term quarterback yet with the New Orleans Saints. The Patriots, Tom Brady walks away. Mac Jones didn't work. Now Drake May was encouraging year one, but there's still a lot of room to go. Even when Brady left Tampa Bay, that was actually a good one. You know, Baker Mayfield has come in there, and he's done a good job the last 2 years. So whenever a legendary quarterback leaves, it's kind of crazy. Some teams can find that next guy right away, right? Look at the Packers. They always had a plan. Favre, Rodgers, and Love is encouraging. I'm not going to say he's, you know, great yet. And then there's other situations where you go a long time, and maybe you never find that guy. Like, look at the Dolphins. Since Marino, their best quarterback has been Tua Tagovailoa, and I don't even know if Tua Tagovailoa is a top 10 quarterback in this league. So it's easier said than done, but the Steelers, even when they got Kenny Pickett, never made you really think that they have their next guy. And if they bring in Rodgers, he's not the next guy, but they eventually have to get younger at that position. Real quickly, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Chris in Alabama wants to chime in. Chris, go ahead.
How you guys doing this afternoon, Zach? Let me talk to you, man. All right. When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, I honestly hope he retired a long time ago. But instead, just like the cockroach, in my opinion, that he is, he's finding a way to invest more properties. But hey, since people love him so much, might as well let him play. But hey, my advice to him is to go two routes. Try doing for a pet backup role because right now.
Wait, you're saying a backup role for Rodgers?
Because you've proven through this past season, that you're not really fully invested with it, with the Pat McAfee stuff and the going on trips when it's the OTA stuff.
He's not going to be a backup, though. You know that.
No. Let me tell you why. Let me explain. Let me expand on it. Because see, here's the thing. He's the new guy in town. But yet he feels the need he can just go off and do.
What happens when you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but guess what though? You're still a new guy. You don't have seniority yet.
Yes, he does. Chris, appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I got to get to Carlos Boozer. But that makes absolutely zero sense. That makes zero. He's still the new guy. He's 40-something years old. Like, what, you think when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay, they were like, oh, Tom, you don't have seniority in our Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room. Like, give me a break. Come on, like, what are we doing here? I understand you may not like Aaron Rodgers, but if you actually think Aaron Rodgers is going to go somewhere and be like, yeah, I'm going to compete for a job. You know, I'm going to prove myself. No, come on. That's blasphemy. That's ridiculous. You know you sound ridiculous when you say that. All righty. Let's get to Carlos Boozer next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Here's Zach. And this portion of the Zach Gelb Show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. DraftKings has a lot of exciting offerings and promotions for basketball fans. All new customers can sign up. Bet $5 and receive $150 in bonus bets instantly. And now joining us on behalf of DraftKings, the two-time NBA All-Star, won an NCAA championship with Duke back in 2001, and that's Carlos Boozer. Carlos, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this. How you been?
Been doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. So I know you made two All-Star games. This is All-Star weekend, which gets underway starting tomorrow. Just what do you remember about that first All-Star game experience, and even the second one too, because that had to be a pretty cool thing, making it back-to-back years in 07 and 08.
Yeah, just excited, like honored, and obviously I'm playing against guys that I've had posters on my wall, like Kevin Garnett and Shaquille O'Neal, and now I'm alongside they're my peers now. That was a huge moment for me, you know, all the hard work that you put time in, you're watching film, you're getting up shots, you're spending extra hours in the gym. That was a moment that I was like, I put the work in and I earned this. And so it was a huge honor because there's so many deserving guys, right? Like you think about the list of guys that probably could have made it this year that didn't make it. So for the guys that are there, it's a huge honor.
You know, I was at the Super Bowl this past weekend and I was talking to a few former Pro Bowlers in the NFL, and they were telling me stories that their first ever Pro Bowl, even though they were no longer a rookie, they had to buy some things for the veterans that have made the Pro Bowls multiple times at dinner. I know of rookie hazing. I think of that just when you first get into the league. I never thought about it at the Pro Bowl. Was there anything All-Star Game weekend where you had to pay for some things your first trip?
I didn't, unfortunately. I mean, fortunately for me, I had some great vets on my team in the Western Conference that were doing very well financially. I didn't have to do any hazing. They took care of all the meals for us. They actually took care of me as a first-timer, so didn't have to have that go down for me, but I'm sure that goes down once upon a time.
It seems like it's a pretty good scam to run. You know, you could be 4 or 5 years in the league. Up, it's your first All-Star game. You're taking us out to the club. You know, here, go spend $40,000. Then it's like, oh, I wish I didn't even make the All-Star game. Anyway, I want to ask you about Duke since I have you here. Cooper Flagg, obviously we see what he's been doing in college, but how do you think his game will translate eventually to the NBA?
I think it'll be great. I mean, he's gotten so much better every day, every week that you see him at Duke. Like, I think his scoring took off from early on. His defense has been phenomenal. He's so disruptive defensively. He gets in the passing lane. He blocks shots. He rebounds, protects the rim. That's just from the defensive side. Offensively, his scoring has gotten better. His jump shots gotten better. His free throws have gotten better. He's great in plays for his teammates. He's always been really good at that. And he's finishing in the paint at a high clip. So I think he has a super high ceiling, and that's why he's projected to go number one in the NBA draft.
And obviously there's great hype with him. No hype will ever surpass LeBron James coming out of high school and being with the Cavs. What do you remember that first year there with LeBron since you were in Cleveland?
But yeah, I remember the year before we got Bron, and there wasn't that much attention on our Cavalier team. And then the first game at Sacramento, we're playing against like the Western Conference champs and the Sacramento Kings. And there was like a million cameras and media people on the baseline. And if you remember Arco, it wasn't that big of an arena, like especially on the court, it was kind of tight. And so they were like coming on the court, and we had to get security to push them back off the court so we could do our layup lines. And he was just outstanding. Honestly, he was outstanding. I did not expect him to be as great as he was as a rookie in the league. He came in and was our best player. And he fit in great because he loved the pass. So he was passing to me, passing to Darius Miles, passing to Big Z, passing to Ricky Davis, who was our lead scorer that year. And then obviously at some point throughout the course of the season, he took off and just became our best player all around. And it's been incredible, the fact that I've been retired for a few years. Right. I'm going into some other things. I'm snowboarding and playing golf. And, you know, our kids are growing. Obviously, he's playing with – the fact that he's playing with Bronny and he's in his 22nd season and he came after me is still mind-boggling to me. But he's been very impressive. Like, the way he's been able to take care of his body, put up triple-doubles against these 21-year-olds. Like, I'm very impressed with what he's been able to accomplish in his 22-year career.
Now, I'm 6'4". I ski. I would never try snowboarding. How does a 6'9", 6'10" guy snowboard? Just wondering.
Man, I grew up in Alaska. You know, I grew up in Alaska.
Good point.
It's like second nature, yeah. So we go out there. It's just kind of like surfing. It's a little bit like skateboarding, but you're moving on some snow. It's awesome. I just got back from the French Alps. It was great.
That's awesome. I guess I needed to grow up into Alaska because, man, I tried snowboarding once, fell down, and I'm like, yep, never doing that again. I'll just stick to skiing. Staying with LeBron, because you talk about him being in L.A. right now, and it's wild how he's still playing, and he's still playing at this high level, Carlos Boozer. How many more years do you think he's going to do this?
I mean, honestly, as long as he wants, the way he's going, I mean, what is he averaging, 25 a game right now with 6-6? Like, there's guys that have never averaged 25 a game. There's guys that have never, you know, been to 20 All-Star games. And he's playing in his 22nd season, which would be a peak year for some guys. That's how impressive it is what he's doing. So I don't know. Honestly, the answer for me is as long as he wants to, right? That's why I take my hat off when this blockbuster trade went down, Luka for AD. Right away, I text Rob Plink, and I was like, man, you're a genius, bro. Like, to be able to get Luka Doncic at 25 years old, to be able to prepare for the Lakers' future post-LeBron, right away, you get Luka Doncic, who's the top two or three player on the planet. You put him in a Laker uniform with all that kind of heat, that stage and that platform with those expectations of championship or bust. Like, hats off to him. And then on the other side, even for Nico, like, great job. Honestly, like, you get Anthony Davis, who's playing outstanding. You got a loaded roster. Kyrie Irving's playing terrific, like he always is. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. You got Klay Thompson shooting lights out again, like he used to do in Golden State. You got tons of size. You got Anthony Davis when he comes back and he's healthy. Gafford, all these guys on the front line. Like, they have a team that could be a tough out come playoff time, especially when P.J. Washington comes back. So I'm looking forward to seeing how both these teams finish out this season. I think Dallas, if AD is healthy, especially if Lively's healthy as well, is prepared for now to make a run. And I think the Lakers are prepared for the future post-LeBron.
Yeah, I can't say great job, though, to Nico Harrison because...
Really?
I know that's not a hot take. You get rid of Luka Doncic, and I know you got back Anthony Davis, but he's older, and you get back one first-round pick. Like, if I'm trading Luka Doncic, you know, what, Mikal Bridges went for 5 first-round picks.
Okay, so it may not be sexy to everybody, but in my opinion, if you look at this roster, the way it's constructed, you got Kyrie Irving putting up 30 a night. You got Klay Thompson shooting lights out again. He went through his ups and downs, and now he's cooking. You got, if AD is healthy, you saw how he played before he got hurt. If he can get back to playing at that level after the break with All-Star Week and get healthy, do some rehab, you get Lively back, you get Gafford back, you get P.J. Washington back. It's a good team.
Don't get me wrong. No, they are good, but yeah. You just traded away the guy that was your present and also your future. This is a top 5 player in the league in Luka Doncic.
Yeah. I mean, listen, ultimately, not every trade works out the way you wanted to. I'm sure a ton of people are saying, man, you could have got this, you could have got that. And maybe they could have, but now you have what you have, and you got to deal with what's on the table.
Can they get back to the finals without Luka?
If they're completely healthy, they'd have to get a little lucky, but they have a potential. There's some teams in front of them. Like, obviously, I think OKC is outstanding. They're getting healthier. They just got Chet back. I think if Denver gets healthy at the 3 spot, it's going to be tough. I just saw Kawhi back last night play his 15th game. The way Ty Lue got the Clippers playing, they're going to be a sneaky 6-7-8 seed that could be a tough out as well. It's not easy in the West. If they were in the Eastern Conference, I'd be more confident. Could they battle against Boston in 7th game? Yes, they could if they were in the Eastern Conference. In the West, I don't know who's coming out the West. If I had to put my money on, and don't forget about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are also going to be hurt from come playoff time. So it's not a for sure yes, but they have some work to do.
Now, I agree with you in terms of the Lakers. This, you're right, makes them better now, and then for the future, it gives them someone without, a move-on face of your franchise without LeBron James. You know, this pairing together of Luka and LeBron, how far do you think they could go this year? What do you think their ceiling is?
I guess we'll see. I mean, they're both basically point forwards. They both dominate the ball. They have high usage rates. They have super high IQs. They make the game easier for their teammates. You see what Reeves is developing into, a really good knockdown player, can also create. Hachimura's playing great. I'm excited to see what Lin can bring to the table with his size. I think that they're going to be interesting because they both can run the show and they both can set each other up. LeBron obviously has played a lot of power forward this year at the 4 spot. I think he'll be playing a lot of 4 spot if you keep the ball in Luka's hands. But also you can do some decoy and let Luka run the pick because he's also 6'8". So I'm curious to see JJ's going from a team that had a real inside-out threat with Anthony Davis, and he was the focal point offensively, to now having 2 wings, kind of similar to how Boston has Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum a little bit. Although these guys do a lot more creating for their teammates and more point forward oriented than just a scoring role like Tatum and Brown. But I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of offense JJ Redick has planned. My biggest concern with the Lakers is defensively. You know, AD did so much for that team defensively, sure, blocking shots, rebounding, at a high clip, protecting the basket. But this is going to force LeBron, and an older LeBron at that, and Luka Doncic, who hasn't really been known as a defender, to strap up and do some dirty work things if they're going to win today. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, but we'll find out very shortly.
I only got a minute left. Give me 45 seconds on the Warriors getting your old pal Jimmy Butler out there to the Bay Area. Man, those practices with Draymond and Jimmy Butler, if they ever disagree, that's going to be something.
Man, I think it's the perfect place for him. I think Jimmy was looking for a new home. He found a new home. He's going to a situation where he respects these two guys as champions. Draymond Green's been a winner. Steph Curry's been a winner. They have a winning culture there, which he loves. Jimmy's the perfect guy to help Steph, because he needed somebody else who could score. And the thing about Jimmy that he does really well is he gets fouled. So what's that mean? He gets the Warriors in the penalty quicker each quarter. That helps Steph Curry a great deal, especially as they get through the break and get ready for the stretch run to the playoffs. Defensively, especially when Kuminga comes back, you got Kuminga, Jimmy, what's my man's name? Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah.
These guys can all defend multiple positions. You got Gary Payton Jr. They have guys that can play defense. Can they score enough against the powerhouses in the Western Conference? That's what I'm concerned about.
He is Carlos Boozer. Carlos, great job as always. DraftKings has a lot of exciting offerings and promotions for basketball fans. All new customers can sign up, bet $5 and receive $150 in bonus bets instantly. Carlos, we'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Carlos Boozer with us. He was awesome. Enjoyed his basketball insight, and he gave a different perspective on the Mavericks trade. I think he's been the first person I've heard to defend the Mavericks and Nico Harrison and say great job. So how about that? All righty, Mike and Jordan, we'll get to you on the other side. 855-212-4227. Also, we'll do a little Rodgers next destination draft when we come on back in 5 minutes.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.